You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, the host. My website is crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you. You'll find a link to email me there. Make sure that you put my name, Nicholas, or Cross the Border, or some reference to a Bible study or something on the subject line so that we don't lose the email in the thousands we get. But anyway, would like to hear from you if you're listening to the program. Questions, comments, challenges, all comers are welcome. We're in Romans, continuing the study in chapters 10 here, where Paul says in verse 10, if you shall confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, of course, Yahshua, our Messiah, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Yes, very important to believe that one too. You shall be saved. Because I mean, if you don't believe that he raised from the dead, then what are you believing in and what are you believing for? Because if he didn't raise from the dead, then you're not going to be raised from the dead. And what kind of faith is that? You know, what's the promise then? So we have to believe that. So Paul writes here, as it's given to us in the Authorized King James Version, for with the heart man believeth, and what happens if we believe? Well, we believe unto righteousness, because our faith causes us to act differently if we really believe it. If we don't really believe it, then we're not going to stop doing the things that we used to do. We're not going to practice righteousness because it's probably more pleasurable and more fun to sin. And it's definitely more selfish to continue in unrighteousness than it is to believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you need much more than just a confession of faith. And I know they have the big crusades and where the people come forward and they're weeping and they make a confession with their mouth and then they're given false assurances that they're saved and they get to go to heaven when they die. But unless they believe unto righteousness, they're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And if you ain't in his kingdom, you're not going to be in his kingdom after you die. You're not going to go to heaven. Because only those who are in his kingdom are going to be in his kingdom forever. That's just the way it works. If you're not in his kingdom, when your period of mortality comes to an end, you won't be in his kingdom forever. So you must endure to the end to be saved. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And again, I have to emphasize that it's not just believing only, but as Paul says here, for with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness. If the works don't follow, then you better check out your faith. You better check out your belief, because it doesn't go very deep. Now, if the works follow, if righteousness follows, if you have fruit, meat for repentance, and that means that repentance is working righteousness in your life, and now we can see it. If you can't see it, then it ain't real. As James said, I'll show you my faith by my works, for faith without works is dead. Paul continues in verse 12 here of chapter 10, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's another one of their pet verses. But you can't just take one singular verse out of the scripture and build a doctrine on it. Because at the same time, and had a guy that was, he stumbled on a website, I guess, one of these anti-Pauline websites, and they're out there. You can search for them if you want to look at them. I really don't have time for such nonsense, but I have looked at them, and I've come across this in the past, where they disregard or reject the writings of Paul because of contradictions. Well, here's a contradiction for you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's a contradiction if you take it out of context. But if you take it in context, you can go to first, you know, three or four verses before where it says, "For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we know that calling upon Him, because it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, we know what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. It means that you believe unto, with your heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth you make confession unto salvation. That's what it means. So if we take it in context, it means much more just opening your mouth and going, "Jesus, Jesus, save me." Because you need more than just, you know, the vocalization of it. You have to read it in context. Because guess what Jesus said? For all of those who love this as a pet verse and think they can just call it His name but continue in their sin, they want to use this pet verse. But as I said before, Paul is in complete compliance with everything that the Messiah said. I have no reason to reject the writings of Paul. Because the Messiah said, "Not everyone that calleth me Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." So yes, we could pick that verse, and then we could pick this verse out of Romans and say, well, wow, that's a contradiction in the Bible, isn't it? So we're going to throw out Paul, or we're going to throw out the Messiah in that case. Well, no, but Paul's in complete compliance if you read it in context. If you take everything he said, instead of cherry-picking the scripture to either throw it out or to build a different doctrine. And that's what people do. We need to rightly divide the Word of God. Paul continues, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And what are the good things? We don't have to die. We can escape death. The price has been paid for our sins. These are the good tidings. These are the glad tidings of good things. That we don't have to suffer the punishment for the sin and the corruption transmitted by our fathers. And we don't have to suffer the punishment due for the sins that we have personally committed. That our indictment, each of our personal indictments, when we accept the Messiah, when we call on Him, and that faith leads to righteousness, yes, we believeth unto righteousness, the glad tidings and the good news is that our indictment was nailed to the cross. That His blood covered our sins, so that when our period of mortality is over, that we, death will say to us, when it sees His blood covering our sins, "I have no claim on you," and we will rise as He did. We will rise from the grave as He did. If we believe unto righteousness, and that believing unto righteousness is expressed by Paul in different ways, and it's expressed throughout the Scripture in different ways. One way that Paul expresses it to us is that he who endures till the end shall be saved. That's the same thing as believing unto righteousness. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's believing unto righteousness. That's working out your salvation. That's having His Word, His law written upon your heart. That's called renewing your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. All of these expressions mean the same thing. They're just a different way of expressing the same thing. But it's all good news that we can go through this process because of what Yahshua, the Messiah, did for us by taking our place, by bearing our sins. And what do I say to these things? Hallelujah. What else could I say? Hallelujah. I'll take it. I like that plan. Help me to endure till the end. Help me to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Help me believe unto righteousness. And that's my prayer to the Father. Help me. Glad tidings of good things. Chapter 10 and verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they heard? Yes, verify, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a nation I will anger you, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Sad words for national Israel. And of course, Paul is talking to national Israel at the time that he lives. And yes, does he not even stretch his hand forth to those that call themselves Israel, even the whole earth today, to everyone everywhere, since the time of the end of Daniel's 70th week? All of these prophecies has come to pass continually throughout the whole earth, and they still come to pass today, where he reaches out to a people that are not called a people, to a people that are not called by his name, to a people that weren't looking for him. He called to me, and I certainly wasn't looking for him. Well, maybe I was. I don't know, but I know that it was his plan, because it doesn't seem like I was looking for him when he called me into a church. So someone said, hey, you got to come down here. And I was bored at the time. I was a teenager. And I went into this church. And yeah, it was fun hanging out with people. It was hilarious the way these people were acting. They were talking in tongues and laying hands on people and praying and stuff like that. But they gave me a Bible. And I started to read it. That's when it happened to me, while I was reading that book. And actually, I was walking down the road while I was reading the book, so I had a Damascus Road type experience. He touched me on that road, although it was the Plymouth Road, so it was my Plymouth Road experience. And I've never forgot that experience to this day. Kind of like Paul, I'm sure he never forgot his Damascus Road experience, obviously. Well, I never forgot my Plymouth Road experience. Walking down the Plymouth Road, reading an old King James Bible, you know, one of those cheap ones that they gave me with the red ink on the pages, and things have never been the same. But I wasn't really looking for him. I don't know what I was looking for, because I must have been looking for something if I was reading that book. Yes. So he called the people that weren't looking for him. There you go. So that continues to this day. Maybe you tuned in here and you're looking for something, you don't know what, and look what you have found. Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul continues, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Ah, I like that little caveat in there. Which he foreknew. What did he foreknow? We talked about the foreknowledge of God. He foreknew who would love him. That's right. And them he conformed to be, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Listen to this. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. That's right. He says, I have 7,000. There were millions of people in Israel. Yes. I don't know exactly how many. Could have been 100 million. I don't know. I don't have a figure for that. Perhaps someone who studied that. But he reserved a remnant, 7,000 men. And of course their families, their wives and their children would be under their coverture. So that's 7,000 men in Israel. And the prophet couldn't see them. And that's how we feel out here today. Those of us who are following the true faith, the same faith that those true followers of Israel at the time of the Messiah, who accepted the Messiah. And that's what Paul is expressing here. It's the same thing going on. I have my remnant. I have my true followers. And so I draw a distinction there between the posterity of the obedient and the posterity of the disobedient. And so what does the posterity of the obedient do? Well, they follow the Messiah. That's right. And the posterity of the disobedient, what do? Well, they continued in the corporate-style religion of Judaism, Talmudic Babylonian Judaism. And they're still amongst us today, the posterity of the disobedient. They're not God's chosen people. They're the posterity of the disobedient. God's chosen people, the remnant, they followed the Messiah. And they fled as they were told to flee. They fled Palestine. And they were no longer, after a while, they were no longer identified as Jews, but they were identified as Christians or followers of the Nazarite or whatever name they took on by following the Messiah. And they disappeared into history, like I said, because genealogies were no longer important. So we won't press that one again. So, and that's what Paul is expressing here. He said, through Isaiah, or Elijah said, Lord, they kill the prophets, they dig down the altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. And God answered to him, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And see, a lot of people try to say, well, what Paul's talking about here is that there were Jews who continued on, and now they're the Jews today. That's not what Paul's talking about, because the remnant followed the Messiah. That's what he's saying. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise works is no more work. Oh. That's almost a tongue twister, isn't it? But let's continue. Perhaps Paul will clarify that for us. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. So he's referring to the election in Israel. He's saying national Israel has not seeked what it obtained, it has not obtained what it seeks for. And what was national Israel seeking? Well, it was obvious what they were seeking. And especially in the Zealots, they were seeking a deliverer from, not from their sins. They were seeking a king like David or like Solomon or like someone who would deliver them from their enemies in the flesh, not someone to save them from their sins. They already had that down by works. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election, referring to the remnant, expressed by Elijah, by God when he talked to Elijah and said, I have 7,000 men who haven't bowed the knee. See? Those, and the posterity of those remnant that were living, they obtained it. And the rest were blinded. So the obedient obtained it, but the rest were blinded. The disobedient were blinded. According as it is written in verse 8 of chapter 11, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they could not see, and ears that they could not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Boy, it doesn't sound like Paul is too happy with the Jews that were disobedient either. He isn't too happy with the disobedient and those that follow, the posterity of the disobedient. But he makes a clear distinction between the obedient remnant and the disobedient who continue on as if nothing happened with the advent of the Messiah and the 70th week of the commencement, beginning, commencement, and end of the 70th week of Daniel. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.